Bibles to 1 Samuel 22. So from this little book that I've been reading called Undercover, as I've been reading this, they happen to be going through the same passage of scripture, kind of bringing out some points regarding Saul. And I thought it was very good. I've been actually posting a little bit of this online. And one of the big things that I wanted to bring out is that the author brought out in this book said, you know, rebellion is witchcraft. Not just as witchcraft. He brought out, he went and did some research and showed how even in our Bibles, when you look at the King James Version, it quotes that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, but if you look at it closely, it has is as in italics. And what that means, if you go back to the front of your Bible, it'll show that those were words that were added for us to be able to understand it better in our language. So the author brought up that point, like rebellion is witchcraft, not just as witchcraft, it is witchcraft, you know. And what he was saying about witchcraft is that anything that just opens you up to allow demonic control is witchcraft, right? Whether you want it to happen or not want it to happen, people are involved in it and don't even realize it. But anything that opens you up to demonic influence is nothing but witchcraft, right? And typically when a person take on a rebellious spirit, you just watch it. They go into all kind of things. Typically, you, especially when you live for God, you take on a rebellious spirit, you do everything against the word of God, right? I mean, if it's a young man that maybe raised up in a church, don't believe in wearing shorts, first thing he go do is put on shorts, right? Young lady raised up in church, don't believe in wearing garments that pertain to a man's pants, to go straight to put on pants, right? Put on makeup, put on, you know, earrings, put on anything. All of that because of rebellion. But when we open ourselves up to those spirits, we have no idea what else we open ourselves up to, right? So rebellion is witchcraft, right? It's on the same level. And oftentimes people think we're rebelling against the pastor, rebelling against church, or rebelling against our parents. No, we're rebelling against God. Right, that's what it's all about. And the children of Israel rebelled against God and they got in trouble. Saul rebelled against God, he got in trouble. I just want to read this. This gentleman by the name of John Bevere, he made this comment. It says, Samuel warned Saul just as God himself warned Cain. Rebellion opened his soul to the influence of a controlling spirit that caused him to behave in a manner he never would have if he was in his right mind. Saul did not truly repent, and the Bible indicates in 1 Samuel 16:14 that not long after his rebellion, an evil, tormenting spirit came upon his life and troubled him. The evil spirit had legal access in his life from that point on. There was no rest for Saul because there was no true repentance. Saul became a very different man from the one we first met. He had gone from an unassuming young man who obeyed authorities, such as his father and the prophet Samuel, and who respected the things of God, to one who violated all he held dear. If you had approached him in his early years and foretold him, Saul, the day will come when you will kill 85 innocent priests, their wives, and their children in a fit of rage, he would have dismissed you as crazy, impossible, I could never do that, he would have reasoned. The sad truth is, he did. We're going to find that out tonight. The evil spirit manipulated him into a life of jealousy, anger, hatred, strife, murder, and deception. It controlled him by way of his unrepentant disobedience. He chased and tried to kill David, one of God's and his own most faithful servants. He believed David a traitor, when in reality he was a man after the heart of God. As a result of the demonic control, Saul saw only fleeting glimpses of truth through a thick cloud of deception. Truth became a lie, and the lies became truth. Oh, how many times I have seen this happen, not only with others, but with myself. I look back to seasons of my life when I dabbled with disobedience, and I want to weep. And I want to weep at the deception I walked in. In those times, I view godly authorities as legalistic or in error. Now, there's many people that do that. As soon as they go into a phase of disobedience, the pastor's the first one to get attacked, right? I mean, he's legalistic, you know. His view is wrong. Well, okay. I view godly authorities as legalistic or in error, and godly friends often as my adversaries. I drew near to other rebels only, and that's what, you know, I think brother, that's the brother name, he came down here and preached with his other little building. He was talking about how a young lady that might be in a rebellious spirit, she'll look for another man, a young man in the same spirit. And they'll end up getting married just out of rebellion. And eventually, because they have not dealt with the rebellion, eventually they'll begin rebelling against each other, right? I mean, rebellion is a terrible spirit, right? Don't do things out of rebellion. You're gonna live to be hurt by that, right? At some point in time. So, you know, this author saying, I view godly authorities as legalistic or in error. And that's the first time, that's kind of like the first sign of it. When you start disagreeing with everything that's being preached, it's a spirit. So as I drew near to other rebels, only to have fuel poured on my already raging fire of disobedience, we saw ourselves as closer to the Lord and were convinced we were the new breed of ministers God was raising up. Oh, the Lord has been merciful to me. May your eyes be opened wide to this trick so you are not deceived as I was. I thought he made some really, really good comments there. We're going to pick up here in 1 Samuel 22. There's just no way you would have been able to tell Saul at the beginning of his journey, when he was called out by the prophet, anointed to be the king. He was so humble, telling the prophet that, you know, look, my family is the least of all the families. I'm the least of everybody. How could God use me? And to go from that very humble approach to this man that wants to kill God's priests. That's a tremendous change in this man's life. Now, if I could just say this as well, the prophet told us that you don't necessarily have to have a knife and stab a person in the back to kill them. But when you begin to try to kill their influence, that's just as bad as murder. Amen. When we begin to try to kill people's influence, that's just as bad as murder. I want to make it, I don't know how to drive this home, the spirit of rebellion has been loosed in the land. And it's a really bad spirit. Every time you hear people coming against the message, that's the spirit of rebellion, right? You hear people, you name it, it happened in the church, it happened in families, it's happening in schools, it's happening everywhere. People rebel against authority. And that's a terrible spirit that's in the land today. Be careful of that spirit. Most people do not know they're dealing with witchcraft. That's a strong statement, but it's the truth, because it opens you up to so many other devils. One spirit can open a person up to so many other devils. Rebellion is witchcraft. All right, look at this. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 tells us this. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now look, David is living in a cave. David is the pre-anointed king. David is a fugitive. David is on the run, right? And he went, in the previous chapter, he went amongst the Philistines to try to take refuge, but, you know, they begin to kind of remind him of the song that they were singing about him. So David began to kind of act like a crazy man and everything. They, you know, just kind of changed his behavior there. But now he's left the Philistines, and now he's running to a cave, to live in a cave. And this man is supposed to be the next king. He's running for his life, living in a cave. Separated from his wife, separated from his parents. This is the way this man has to live now because of being a fugitive. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah, Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Now, here David now is left the Philistines, and now he's going amongst the Moabites. I found it very interesting. David was welcome here amongst the Moabites. And the reason that he was welcome is because somebody in his family was a Moabite. Right? I mean, his, I guess it would have been his great-grandmother. So Ruth was a Moabite, right? And through Ruth and Boaz's marriage, David came down through that lineage. So he was family members, you know, were Moabites. So it says that David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Harith. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having a spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered, and you know, you can just see this evil spirit just got Saul thinking all kind of crazy things, you know, against David. And he shouldn't even been worried about, you know, all these other men, you know, when he said there in verse 8, you know, David gonna give you all types of positions, you know, why won't y'all tell me what's going on? God had already made this man king. God had anointed him through a prophet to be king. There was no reason for him to be jealous of David. None whatsoever. He was the anointed king, right? And unfortunately, we have that in Christianity today. God could anoint a person for something they know they called to, but when they see somebody else kind of able to do the same thing that they're able to do, jealousy rises up. Don't do that. Don't allow that spirit to come on, right? Maybe you good at making a particular cake. Somebody else come along and they make the same cake. And then you hear everybody says, oh, that was good. Now you get a spirit on you, right? We got to be watchful of this type of stuff. It's very easy for Satan to anoint us, and it creates problems later on if we don't watch this. And I'm gonna tell you, even for the youngest of us, Satan will use the smallest thing to get a foothold in our life. The smallest thing. Satan will use fingernail polish, toenail polish, to get a hold in somebody's life. Right? Just something that simple. Something, well, no, we don't agree with that. Well, you know, well, show it to me in the Bible. All right, you got a problem already. You know, the way that you say it, tell me that you got a problem, right? And then if somebody even showed it to you, Bible, you still wouldn't receive it, right? And when we let little spirits like that come in, watch it, be careful. It's greater things on the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some things we shouldn't even have to fight with. Right? I mean, sister, that's too short. That's too tight. Oh, rebellion kick in. No, there's a reason why people say that. Right? I mean, they say it because they love you. They don't want you to get caught in the wrong situation. That's why they say that, right? But first, no, they just don't like me. They're picking on me. Rebellion. I was reading here, and the other thing about rebellion is that a person never takes ownership of what they've done. They always blame somebody else for where they're at, and they never learn a lesson from the things that they've done. God tells us, He tells us in His Word to bring our tithes to the storehouse. And, you know, it's our job, and actually that's something that God trusts you to bring. The government don't trust you, right? But God trusts you to bring it. And you bring it and you pay it, and God tells you that, you know, look, I'm gonna rebuke the devourer for your sake. But then they also say, well, you don't pay it, then you're gonna be cursed with a curse. So when people see that everything in their life is just falling apart, can't get a hold of nothing, right? Every time you get something, it's gone just like that. The car absorbing it, you know, some bill came out of nowhere, going to the hospital, all kind of things happen. You just don't know where, how you're going to take care of it. Well, you curse with a curse, right? And rather than learn a lesson, and what that means, you just rebelled against God's word, right? You chose not to do what He said do. So you can't blame nobody else but yourself. That's not nobody else's fault, right? But oftentimes we'll take the blame and try to throw it on everybody else rather than absorb it ourselves. God, I didn't follow through with your word. I didn't do what you told me to do. This ain't nobody's fault but mine. Mm-hmm. Repent and then move on. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's go on. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more." And the king said, "Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." And the king said unto the footmen that stood, and the footmen were actually like bodyguards, right? Says the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord." That's good. I like that. Right? Look, I mean, I know you're the king and I know you're the leader and all that, but, you know, even when it comes to that, you know, don't be so gullible, right? Or so obedient that people get you to break the word of God. Praise the Lord. That's even in your house. A wife is supposed to be subject to her husband. But Brother Branham said that now if your husband trying to get you to do something against the word of God, then your first responsibility is to God.
Amen.
Don't let people manipulate you and do all kind of stuff that, you know, that's against the word of God, because you're rebelling against God. I tell you what, I'd rather rebel against man than against God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? So some of you, you know, young people, you're old enough to know right from wrong when it comes to dressing. Don't let nobody force you back into the wrong, putting on the wrong clothing. You know what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to just have to take my chances. Right? I'm going to stand on with the word of God than stand with somebody else's word. I respect you. I love you. But I also respect God and love God. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that these footmen, no matter what their position was, they this was a line they was not going to cross. I am not killing God's priest. Look at it. And the king said to Doeg, turn down, fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Now, Saul was just as guilty as Doeg, because he's the one that ordered this to happen, right? And Doeg, being an Edomite, not an Israelite, but an Edomite, he had no fear of doing these things. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. One of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. And David said, it's my fault that all these people are dead now, right? Says, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Saul, because of disobedience and rebellion against God's word, has found himself in this position where not only is he trying to kill David, but he just killed the priest of God, the holy man of God. 85 of them died at Saul's bidding. And not only that, their families were killed as well. It showed how bad off he had become and how bad the spirit was, you know, that was bothering him. Don't play around with rebellion. You never know how far you would go. Let's just read a couple of things here. The rejected king, let's read from there. The prophet says this. Now we find out then, when a man rejects the leading of the spirit, you know what God did for Saul? He gave him an evil spirit to lead him. Now, how about that? He gave him an evil spirit. God gave him an evil spirit to lead him. So when a man rejects the leading of the Holy Spirit, or any person rejects the leading of the Holy Spirit, you got a devil on you to lead you. That's exactly the Bible. So if a person rejects the leading of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led by something. You're either going to be led by God or you're going to be led by the devil. Amen. But you are going to be led by something, right? It says, oh God, I wish we could have a revival. I wish there could come a time that when the Holy Spirit could really get into the hearts of the American people again, that they would see it's him. They want to look, say, well, now look, I can't cooperate in this meeting because my church don't. What difference does that make? What's that got to do with it? Well, I'll tell you that they believe in this and we don't believe that. As long as they're preaching the Bible, the whole Bible, the full gospel, and nothing but the truth, listen to it. Long as they're led by the Spirit, believe in it, and God will make himself known. If a man is led by the Spirit of God, God will make himself known to that person. Yes, sir, God promised to. So in doing that, we know then that the Holy Spirit leads the people and God takes care of it. Amen. You believe that with all your heart? Certainly, we do. All right. Goes on to say, I'd like to say another thing. That evil spirit began to lead Saul, and it led him, and today when the Holy Spirit's rejected, What will it do? You'll get an evil spirit to lead you. Now listen, I don't want to hurt you, but I want you to get this. See, just as it was in them days, so is it today. They don't want the Holy Spirit to lead them, so they get an evil spirit. What takes place with an evil spirit? The evil spirit wants to lead them then. And now what? They didn't want God to be their judge. And people today don't want the Holy Spirit to judge them. That's the reason they turned Samuel down, because his judgment was of God. It was scriptural. And they don't want to be led by the Spirit. And they turned it down for an ecclesiastical man. And what did they get? An evil spirit to lead them. Oftentimes that's what you'll see happen. Somebody don't want the Holy Spirit or the, or they don't want the standards of the message church. They'll go to another church that don't preach that and feel very comfortable. And the only reason they feel comfortable is because they don't want to come under subjection of the word, right? And I'm going to tell you this, a religious spirit is one of the worst spirits that you could ever have. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's, just want to kind of talk about this rebellion. Thirst of the life, let's read that. Brother Branham ran into many situations where people were, openly rebel right there in the meetings. Hey, bow your head when we're praying for somebody. You know, just bow your head, close your eyes, just be reverent. One particular situation which we'll read, the brother didn't want to bow his head. You know, he refused to bow his head. And because he did that, an epileptic demon actually attacked him. Right, and one one pastor told his congregation, don't bow your heads. When he tell you to do it, don't do it. 28 people sat there, wouldn't bow their head, and so just like I just shared here with, they told, Saul told the footmen to go destroy the priest. They didn't do it. Well, 28 people listened to their pastor one night and wouldn't bow their head. All 28 of them left with a demon of epilepsy. See, you got to be respectful, right? And you got to fear God, right? Don't rebel against his word. I mean, your neighbor might do it, but you got to say, I'm not doing it. I refuse to do it. Look, here in Thirsting for Life, the prophet says this. Says, now, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Please do this for me just in these next few minutes. If you'll just give us the next 15, 20 minutes of your time. And if mothers will keep their children as the Holy Spirit begins to settle just now, as the songs are playing, as I'm bringing it out, I was at a meeting here this year, and there's a brother who actually is kind of left the word to go into, they go into a church that allows him to do things that he know he can't do with the word. So he happened to come to the meeting that we were at, and was standing there in the back room, and this sister just began to cry out, like a demon was just crying out in her. So all the ministers just went running to the back and just began to bind the devil, this young lady, and just praying for her, just praying that God would deliver her. And I mean, she was really, really possessed. Testimony is that she couldn't sleep, so she would take these little pills at night to help her sleep. Well, eventually, the pills weren't enough to help her sleep, so Satan turned her on to starting to drink, and she would take a little drink with the pills, and that would help her sleep. So now she, and she was still coming to church with all that, and so, that night, we began to pray for her, and God just brought a mighty, mighty deliverance. But I noticed that young man happened to be in the room where we were at the same time that this devil was dealing with her. He's like, uh-oh, I'm caught in this room, and he not living right. He not living right. So you got to watch yourself, right? I mean, so I noticed him while he was in the corner of that room. He had his head bowed. He knew enough about the message. No, don't you look up. Keep your head down. And I ain't living right either. surprised he didn't get saved, you know, or rededicate his life that night, because that's something you don't play with. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, listen. The prophet says this. Says, says, if you'll just give us the next 15, 20 minutes of your time, if mothers will keep their children as the Holy Spirit begins to settle just now, as the songs are playing. I know there is epilepsy in the crowd tonight. And was it there at Tacoma? It was at Tacoma where they had a child or somebody on the platform, I believe it was having an epileptic fit. And I tried to make the people be real quiet and behave and keep their heads bowed while I was praying. And they would not do it. And I asked them to do it, and a critic was setting up in the balcony down there, down here at the ice arena, and I told him not to do that. And he let me know that he'd take care of his own business. This was a public meeting. I said, then see to it. And when the spirit left this child, it went on him. And he fell out with epilepsy. Anybody remember that from the meeting? There you are. There's another case where there was a man with a really bad spirit. Excuse me. He went to the meeting to hypnotize the prophet. He sat there on the front row, and he just kept trying to hypnotize the prophet. And Brother Branham kind of called a vision that this man was going in the army, and they were using him to hypnotize some of the soldiers. And they said he saw the soldiers going around barking like dogs. So he said, you know, I feel a really bad spirit here. And just kept looking, and they caught the man's eye, caught his attention. He said, why would you let the devil put something like that in you? Say that man left the church paralyzed. Mm-hmm. God not playing games. But see, a disobedient, rebellious spirit brought him to that place. Oh my God, you don't know where a rebellious spirit will take you. That's why it's good to fight it off. Yield, submit yourself to the word of God. Lord, if your word said that, I just want to yield to it. I do not want to play around with rebellion. Amen. Goes on to say this, I was sitting at Jonesboro, Arkansas, where a minister and 28 of his members wouldn't bow their heads when we was praying. And an epileptic spell left that man. It was on the platform, and 28 people fell in the floor, kicking over chairs and everything from aristocratical church with epilepsy. And as far as I know, they remain with it the rest of their lives. Phoenix, Arizona, when one of the officials of the city wanted to be arrogant, raised up and tried to say something, I said, sir, sit down. I'm trying to deal with a sick man. He said, oh, I'm getting tired of this psychology. I said, then God judge you for it. Up here in San Bernardino, California, his wife held to my trouser legs in the mud while they drugged me over the top of her. Her husband, insane, sitting there going, wee hee, like that, and beard all over his face, crazy as he could be. An official from Phoenix about 4 weeks later, we're not playing church, friends. You're dealing with spiritual beings. Notice he didn't pray for the man because God was judging him for his rebellion. Amen. This is nothing to play with, church. Nothing to play with at all. All right. I want to read a couple chapters out of Psalms from where David wrote those through this particular process he was going through. Psalms 142. Psalms 142 and also Psalms 57 and Psalms 52. These were passages and psalms that were birthed out of David's experience here in 1 Samuel 22. Psalms 142 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, but thou knewest my path. And the way wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Amen. Psalms 57. Like in my Bible, it actually says that this is a prayer for deliverance. It says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me, a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are falling themselves. I like that. You know, they used to say that you dig one ditch, you better dig two. See, because one of them gonna be for you. You know, since you're digging. It says they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are falling themselves. So my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and my truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let's go to Psalms 52. Psalms 52 says this, and this is a psalm written about Doeg because of what he did there with the priests. David writes, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Now, and with the footmen not rising up to slay the priest, Doeg, would do it. Doeg being an Edomite, and you can also probably imagine that Doeg did this for recognition. Right? It says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever, and he shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his friend, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. I think there's many Doegs that still live today. There are people that will sell you out to get ahead. They will lie on you to get ahead. They'll do whatever it takes. Amen. They don't care. They don't care the consequences or whatever. They don't care. They just do whatever it takes to get ahead. And so there's many people like that. And you can't, there's just not much you can do about it. Just commit them into the hands of the Lord. And just, you know, just trust that God somehow will bring you through. There's many people that lost their jobs because of liars. Right? People lose their jobs because somebody lied. And I've seen it, even experienced it, you know. But God got a way of just turning that thing around. All you do is just wait it out, you know. And if you ever lost your job because of that, God got something else better for you. Amen. Just be faithful to him. All right, we'll stop there for tonight. And, I got some more that we'll probably bring around, but we'll just stop there for tonight. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we're able to just spend in your word. We trust that you would help us, Lord, to apply what it is that we read and what we hear. God, I feel in my spirit, Lord, the spirit of rebellion is so prevalent in today's world. We see it all over. Help us to be mindful of this spirit, God, and to avoid it, to see it coming a mile away, Lord, that we might be able to overcome. So many captured by it and don't even realize it. And Lord, it is witchcraft, not just as witchcraft. It is witchcraft. Anything that opens us up to allow the enemy to come into our lives, Lord, is witchcraft. And when we reject your word, God, we open ourselves up to that. So I pray that you would help us to be wise. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be able to share with others, that people would be delivered from this in this hour. And you, God, would just get all the glory and all the honor from the lives that we live before you. We thank you for this time of study tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.